So in the Mishnah, in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, how many people did our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected? How many? Not include himself, right? Not include himself. One? Okay, one. Anybody else? Two? You guys can all come from the same church, right? One, two. Anybody go for three? Go for three? So how many of you say that our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected one person? Raise your hand, please. Hey, what happened to the one say one? What happened? Now nobody raised their hand. You got to be proud, right? You say yes, right? What happened? Your neighbor told you it was wrong or something? What about two? Who said two? Raise your hand. Raise it up high. How many of you say three? Raise your hands. Okay, thank God at least the majority of you say three, which is the right answer, right? Okay, the first one, Lazarus, okay? Lazarus. And then who else? The little girl, right? The third one. Huh? The third one. I'm sorry? Huh? Yeah, the widow's son, right? In the Sea of Nain, right? Third one. So out of these three, so make sure you get the right answer next time. Okay, three people got Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, okay? Which one died the shortest before Lord Jesus Christ resurrected? The little girl. And which one is the second one to die? Second shorter, huh? I'm sorry? Yeah, the widow's son, right? And then the third one, obviously, is Lazarus, right? Lazarus. So let's study these three resurrection. And through this resurrection, actually, it can tell us a lot about how when a newly baptized person is baptized, what do we need to do to make them to grow in this spirituality? Right? This is because this resurrection represents, of course, baptism, right? Baptism. When a person died and they're resurrected, just like people nowadays out there, even though they're walking around but they're dead. But when we resurrect them, we need to do a certain thing for them to grow in their faith. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. We can see in the whole book of Mark, there's always so many people, right, try to come to Lord Jesus Christ, and most of them, they want to be healed from their infirmity. Almost every time, right? Then verse 22, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Verse 23, and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. Verse 24. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So here, why was the little girl resurrected by Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Why did Lord Jesus Christ follow the Father and go to his house, right? To resurrect the little girl. But she did not die yet, right? She's just very ill. Why did Lord Jesus Christ follow Jairus? Yes, the first thing, right? The first thing, remember, who is this Jairus? What is his occupation? He's a ruler of the synagogue, right? Because during that time, those who were in the synagogue, they went against our Lord Jesus Christ. Because they thought that Lord Jesus Christ was teaching things on the Sabbath and healing on the Sabbath, that he's breaking the law. But Jairus, he was the ruler of the synagogue,
And he came to Jesus Christ. What did he do the first thing? Yes, fell at his feet. Remember, actually, we always thought that Jesus Christ was a carpenter, right? Actually, in reality, Jesus Christ, he was a son of a carpenter. He's not even a carpenter himself, you understand? So can you imagine this person, the ruler of the synagogue, ran toward him and, you know, fell at his feet, the lowest part of a person's body. So that's why if you and I want to be healed from infirmity, or if you and I want to pray for the one that we love to be healed, the most important thing you need to do is to humble ourselves before God. Surrender ourselves. Saying to Jesus, look, I cannot do anything of myself, of my infirmity or the loved one. If we had that kind of mentality, then our Jesus Christ would be very touched. So he fell at his feet. Then what else? What else? He begged, right? He begged. You know, this is very interesting, right? Because when someone is a ruler, it's very hard for them to beg. Especially someone like Jesus has no pillows to lay his head on, has no home. He walk around just like a homeless person, right? And now this ruler of the synagogue fell at his feet and begged him. So this means really show humility. Can you imagine if Obama, right? His daughter is sick. And then he came to one of us and fell at our feet and begged us to heal his daughter. You think he would do that? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Why? Because there's no way. We're just like commoners, right? You and I. We're no one special. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, he's less than a commoner. He just walk around with his disciple preaching. But when he put forth this kind of action, this means he has great faith. Knowing. Look at what he said to our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Beg him earnestly, right? Earnestly. Not just beg him for, you know, fake begging, but earnestly saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Not only this man was humble, not only he begged earnestly, what else? What else? This man, what other characteristic does he have? Yes, faith, right? So far, we learned all the healing stuff like that. There's one thing you need to be healed is what? Faith. It's always faith, right? So that's why our brothers and sisters in Africa, when they pray for certain things, God healed them. Why? Because when they're sick, they have no hospital to go to. Why? Because if they go to that place, they get more sick. Because the hospital in Africa, they're very dirty. Unless you have a lot of money and go to the city. But most of our brothers and sisters there, they have no money. So when they are sick, what are they going to do? They're going to pray and ask God to be healed. That's why they pray when they pray to God for healing, they have great faith. Why? Because if not, they will die. If not, they will die. I remember when I was there, that my prayer is very different than when I'm praying here in America. Because even though I try so hard to pray the same way that I pray in Africa, it just doesn't happen. I remember one time we were going like 2-3 days without eating food. So I was really, really hungry. So when we had some food in front of me, I just pray, thank you, Lord, for this food. You know, when I pray, I say, thank you, Lord, this power came over me and go through my whole body. Why? Because I was so sincere in thanking God. Because I was so hungry. But now, look, when you say grace, right? There's so much food, right? You can eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at any time. If there's no food here, you can just go to the store and get something to eat, right? So when you pray, just don't feel that, right? That kind of, you know, I guess crisis in the sense that if you, you know, yeah, thank God for the food. But you cannot really tap into that kind of feeling that when you are starving and God bless you with food. And during that time, and also we had a piece of meat, right? Because usually we don't have meat at all. Then we asked the brother, hey, well, how do you get this meat, right? He's like, oh yeah, my neighbor's next door, his cow died. And like, how did his cow die? He's like, oh, we don't know, he just fall down dead, right? So when I pray, I'm like, Lord, please sanctify this food. And I really meant it, because if not, I might eat it and die, right? But when I say sanctify, my prayer, maybe 30 seconds. But I feel God's power, that 30 seconds, filling me. Because my mind and my heart was truly sincere. That God, please, you know, bless this food and sanctify it. But look at nowadays, all the food you and I eat, right? It's very clean. So quite often we don't need to worry, what is there to sanctify? It's very clean already, right? So that kind of mentality, that's why when we pray, our faith is lacking. Why? Because we already, you know that there's food to eat. We already know that the food is clean. So because of this, we don't need to have that much faith to pray. But a certain time that you and I need our Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that we surrender ourselves, there's no way that you and I can do it, that's the time when God will interfere. That's when you see God's miracles inside. So remember this. So that's why here, this man, he begged our Lord Jesus Christ, and then he has such great faith, right? He said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. Such great faith. And our Lord Jesus Christ follow him. And then, let's read verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Verse 37. And he permit no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So we can see here, right? This ruler of the synagogue, his daughter was sick. And if our Lord Jesus Christ came and touched her, she would be healed. She would live again. But now some people came and said, look, she's already dead. Don't trouble the master. But why did our Lord Jesus Christ told him, do not be afraid, only believe? Why did our Lord Jesus Christ say that to him? Why did Jesus Christ say that to him? Yes. You understand? He had enough faith to say, my daughter is sick, but Jesus Christ can heal her. But now my daughter is dead. Maybe his faith is a little bit shaky. You understand? But Jesus Christ, so merciful, right? He didn't want that father to lose faith. Why? Because of all the other people saying, yeah, she's dead already. Don't bother the teacher anymore. But our Lord Jesus Christ encouraged him, don't be afraid, only believe. So that's why we can see, when you and I have faith, and then sometime in a certain situation, we lack of faith, but our Lord Jesus Christ will give us that faith. But if we have no faith at all, then faith cannot come from anywhere. That's why the Bible says what? Sometimes you have no faith, then you have little faith, then you have great faith, then you're full of faith. But in certain situations, sometimes we have faith and sometimes we don't. But our Lord Jesus Christ is there to encourage us. And that's why he said to the Father, do not be afraid, only believe. And then, verse 38. Of course, it took only Peter, James, and John, right? And here, it seems like, did Jesus Christ show favoritism with his disciples? Yes, he did, right? And even now, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, look, those of you who draw close to me, and I will draw close to you, right? I mean, that kind of favoritism is the right kind of favoritism. Why? Because look, if you want to be close to Jesus Christ, you must try your best. And then Jesus Christ, what? Will love you back and draw himself closer to you. But if we don't have the heart, the yearning for Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ is going to feel the same way. So that's why, you know, not everybody is our best friend, right? There's only a certain people is our best friend. Why? Because the two people who are best friends, they are the one that really, you know, take the opportunity or take the time and spend together and talk to each other. So that's why they become their favorite person. So the same thing with our Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to be that beloved disciple, if we want to be Peter, James, and John, we have to read more. We have to pray more. Then we want to draw ourselves closer to Jesus, and Jesus will also want to draw himself closer to us. So that's why he took Peter, James, and John, and then verse 38. Then he came to the house of the ruler of synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. Verse 39. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." Verse 40. And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them out all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Right? So can you imagine all this chaotic, all the commotion stuff, everybody's crying, wailing, all this kind of stuff, right? And our Lord Jesus Christ say, "Why are you doing all these things for? She's not dead, she's sleeping." Of course, they ridicule him. Now Lord Jesus Christ say, get up, all you get out, right? All you get out. And why did he send them out? Why? Huh? Yes, because they have no faith, right? They don't deserve to see this miracle because they have no faith. So that's why for you and I, if we have no faith, you're not going to see miracles and signs from our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to kick us out. Are you going to kick us out? So that's why without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that is very true. Being in TJC, you need to have faith. Believing all the 10 basic doctrines, you need to have faith. Believing the Bible is the word of God, you need to have faith. Believing baptism have to do with salvation, you need to have faith. Everything has to do with faith. So that's why here the people who has no faith, our Lord Jesus Christ just kicked them out, right? And then our Lord Jesus Christ, he entered where the child was slain, verse 41. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kuma," which translates, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Verse 42. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Verse 43. But he commanded them strictly no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. So here once again he did this great miracle, resurrect a little girl from the dead. And then he told them, don't let anybody know it. Why? Because again, a stunt, he's preaching also. But all the people were so amazed. But when this little girl first resurrected, what did he command them to do? Huh? Yeah, to give her food to eat. Give her something to eat. So what's that mean when a person is baptized in our church? What is the first thing you should do for them? Encourage them to do?
To buy food?
Yes, read the Bible. Yes. Read the Bible. I thought you say buy food. Yeah, read the Bible. It's very important. Because Bible is the food for the spiritual health, right? For the spiritual. If any new believers do not read the Bible, they can never ever grow. And I think many of you also experience this kind of believers. They're in church for so long, right? But they never grow. They're still the same little kid, little baby. And every time you talk to them about the Bible, you have to be very careful. If you say the wrong thing, they don't want to come to church anymore, right? Just like little kids. Just little kids. That's why for you and I, a newly baptized person, you must encourage them to go to seminar, right? Just like RHTS, NYTS, right? The adult seminar too, right? All these things, spiritual convocation, all these things. Why? Because they need to feed themselves to grow. And then let's go to Luke chapter 7. Book of Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verse 11. So how long was the little girl die for? Yeah, maybe an hour, half an hour, right? It's very short, right? We know it's very short. Verse 11. Now what happened the day after that, he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. Verse 12. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out. Right, so this is a young man, right? A young man, right? So he's older than the little girl. The little girl is only 12 years old. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her, 13. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep," verse 14. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still and said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Verse 15. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. So here, why did our Lord Jesus Christ resurrect this young man? Why? What's that? I'm sorry? Yes, he had compassion. Why did he have compassion on this woman? Why? Yes, yes. Because she's a widow, and now because her son is dead, and then she have no way of making a living, right? See, our Lord Jesus Christ, he cares so much for you and I. Because here, when he looked at her, he had compassion on her. Why? Because if her son is dead and she's a widow, how is she going to stay alive? Because back then, it's not like now, right? Now, most sisters, you're educated, you go get your own job, right? You don't need a husband, really, to take care of you, right? You can make your own living, this and that, right? And actually, in church, most sisters make more than brothers. And that's the reality, right? But here, back then, it's not like that. It's not like that. Even in Africa, right? Even in Africa. So that's why in Africa, if a member, they have five wives, for example, right? Before they came to TJC, right? And then after they come to TJC, they're baptized. Then what do we do with them? Huh? What is the right thing to do? So they have five wives, and then they baptize. This has happened, right? They do. One village, this brother, actually, all the ladies in that village, his wife. And the brother's like, "Oh, I want to go to Africa." Actually, so what do we do? What is the best thing to do? Huh? What is the right thing to do? So just choose your number one wife, right? And get rid of the rest. Actually, you can't do that, right? Because actually, over there, they all will die, all the wives, right? Because they don't really do anything, right? They don't work, they don't know how, right? And that's why a lot of women, they prostitute themselves for like a dollar, right? For like a dollar on the roadside and things like that. So that's why if they come in with five wives, they stay with five wives. If they have six, they be excommunicated after baptism, right? So now they come to know the truth. And that's, you know, that's the conclusion that the IA or our church come with, right? In the sense that, how can you choose him to choose which wife? Like, how can he do that, right? And plus, if the wives have small children, stuff like that, how can they survive? They cannot, right? So, of course, the reason why they married their husband in the first place, because they need someone to support them. Okay? So here, our Lord Jesus Christ really has sympathy for this woman and had compassion on her because all these things going on. And then when he resurrected, what did our Lord Jesus Christ, and what did he do when he resurrected? What did he do? What's the first thing he do when he resurrected? What's that? What is the first thing he do when he resurrected? What is it? He spoke, right? He spoke, right? He spoke. And why that's so important? Why that's so important? I mean, don't you wonder what he said? They never recall what he said, right? They just say he spoke. Why that's so important to a baptized member? Right, newly baptized member. First, you need to give them food to eat. But if you give them the word of God to eat, when they speak, they will speak the word of God. This is very important, right? Because you can see, even a lot of us, we don't speak. Even though we are maybe 20, 30 years old in our faith already, right? We don't speak. So that's why, you know, yes, we are baptized and stuff like that, but we don't speak at all in the sense that we don't preach the gospel. We don't speak the word of God. And this is very shameful. Because even little kids, right? Maybe 1.5, 2 years old, they start to speak already, right? If you and I have been in Christ for so long, we don't speak, this means there's something wrong with us. Right? There's something wrong with us. But you need to speak. And make sure when you speak the right thing, right? Because quite often little kids, right? Like in Hawaii, I don't know why they do this, but in Hawaii, all little kids, they always say dirty words, right? And the parents always think they're so cute, right? When they say cursing, this and that, right? And one little girl, I don't know how old she is, like 2.5 years old, and she said the F word. She was mad at one other kid, and she said, F you. We like in shock, but all the parents like, oh, so cute, so cute. It's like, no, that's not cute, right? That is not cute. So, I mean, when they speak, they must speak the right thing, the thing that's edifying God, right? That is the word of God. You don't speak nonsense, right? You can see sometimes new believers, they start to speak. Sometimes they speak things that's not edifying. Even for us, when we start to speak, we also don't speak anything edifying. So we must change that. Why do you think we don't speak anything that's edifying? Why do you think? We don't eat the right food, that's why. You don't eat the right food. Because if you eat all the junk, when you speak junk stuff, right? So now what if you're filled with the things of this world when you speak, that's how it's going to come out. But you know, eat the word of God, when you speak, the word of God will come out also. Okay? The word of God, is it sweet or bitter? Huh? Both, right? It's both. Sometimes the word of God, you know, when you eat it, it's so sweet to your stomach, right? But sometimes it's very bitter. And what's that mean? Sometimes it's bitter, but sometimes it's sweet. What's that mean, brother? You have done something wrong, yeah. Actually, when you read God's word, it becomes like a judgment, right? So that's why when we listen to the word of God, when we come to church, when we do something wrong, we listen to the speaker, sometimes it's very bitter. It's very bitter. I remember one time a deacon was giving a sermon, and this brother in the congregation, he got so upset, he got up and gave him the finger, right? Not this one, the other one. And then the deacon did not understand what happened. And then he just ran away, and then he didn't come to church for a while, right? Then he came back to church, so the deacon had the opportunity to talk to him. He's like, what happened? He's like, you know, why are you up there in the pulpit talking about me? And isn't that? And the deacon said, I have no idea what's going on with you. I wasn't talking about it. I'm just preaching the gospel, right? Because the deacon, he didn't know at all what's going on with that brother. But the brother thought that deacon heard it from someone, then he just talked about it, right? But actually, it wasn't like that. Why? Because the word of God become very bitter to him, right? So the same thing for us. Sometimes when we, you know, live a holy life, a pure life, you come to church, really, you just feel so sweetness, right? Because everything people say and they preach, say amen, right? Amen. Amen, right? When you do something wrong, when you cannot say amen, then become very bitter, right? Become very bitter. Okay? So make sure you eat the right food so you can speak the right thing. Yes, sometimes the food is bitter and sometimes it's sweet, but you must eat it. You must eat it. You cannot just choose sweet that is, you know, so sweet all the time. I mean, food is so sweet all the time, right? Because it's going to cause you cavity, right? Too much sweet is no good for you. So that's why when you speak the sermon, not only like always good words make you always happy, make you joyful, no. Sometimes you also need to have bitter words too, right? To balance itself out, to balance it out. But sometimes you also cannot just eat, everything is all bitter all the time, right? Bitter, bitter, bitter. After a while, you just feel, I don't want to eat that bitter anymore, you know, bitter food anymore, right? So you need to balance it all the time. The same thing when you read the Bible, okay? Let's go to our last one, resurrection. John, chapter what? John chapter what? 11, yes, John chapter 11. Verse 43. John chapter 11, verse 43. Of course, we didn't want to go through is the whole death of, the death of John, right? I mean, the death of John. The death of Lazarus in the book of John. Because it's too long, right? It's too long. Verse 43. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 43. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. So here, when our Lord Christ resurrected him, our Lord Christ cried out with a loud voice, right? Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth, what? With grave clothing, right? Wrap his face, wrap his whole body pretty much, right? His foot, right? And then Advaita Acharya say, loose him and let him go. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? Actually, this is the ultimate goal that you and I need to reach, especially for those who are newly baptized. Not only they have to eat the Word of God, speak the Word of God, they also must be able to walk toward God without any kind of sin around them, right? This is our goal. To be able, when Lord Jesus Christ say, come forth, we must be able to walk toward Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we must be able to walk independently with any kind of sin that's around us. That is the grave clothing, right? That wrap on our feet and also on our face. So we must get rid of all this. Then you and I can truly be loose and be independent and be a mature Christian. So this is the goal. So first, when someone gets newly baptized in our church, we must feed them with the Word of God. Then we're hoping that sooner or later they will speak. After speaking, then they can walk toward the Lord Jesus Christ, let them loose and let them go, so they can journey to the Lord Jesus Christ by themselves independently. This is the goal. Okay? Any question, any thought? Any question, any thought on the resurrection? Okay, let's go back to chapter 5, Pogamak. Let's go to verse 25. Verse 25. Now a certain woman, chapter 5, verse 25. Now a certain woman had had a flow of blood for 12 years, verse 26, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So here, no, this woman, she had this issue of blood for 12 years. Can you imagine that, right? Can you imagine that? Of course, maybe brothers, you cannot imagine it, right? Sister, I think you can imagine it, right? For 12 years. I mean, quite often, just for 1 week, right, for your customary thingy, right? And it's very difficult already, right? You become very grouchy, you're always hungry, right? You're always in a bad mood, right? All this kind of stuff, right? So, of course, according to the Bible, it's unclean. It's unclean. That's the saddest part, right? Because this woman, she's always unclean for 12 years. And if she had the issue of blood, this means it continually to flow, right? For her, I'm sure she's not a strong person. But you cannot lose that much blood every day to be a strong person. And I'm sure she's always sick. But at least she has money, right? At least she has money. And then, look at verse 26. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. You know, for her, why didn't she go to a Lord Jesus Christ right away when she had this issue? Why? Why didn't she go to a Lord Jesus Christ right away? Yes, because he wasn't available yet, right? Because he wasn't available yet. So that's why we can see here this woman, actually, she went to many doctors, many physicians, right? And what happened is she continued to go. What happened to her? It grew worse. It grew worse. It grew worse. This is very sad for her. And then look at verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, came behind him and the crowd and touched his garment. But here, actually, no, when someone was 26, when she suffered many things from many physicians, I'm sure this physician, all the physicians try to do so many things, right? Just like try and error kind of stuff, right? And she probably suffered a lot, and of course, she lost all her money from this too. But instead of getting better, it got worse. So the same thing for you and I, really. If you and I have faith, and we have any kind of ailment, any kind of sickness, doesn't matter what it is. If we have the faith that Jesus will heal us, he will heal us. But if we don't have faith, yes, go to the doctor. But if we truly have faith, our Lord Jesus Christ will heal us. But when you and I go to the doctors, quite often they don't know what they're doing. Really, a lot of times they do not know what they're doing. You must pray and ask God to give you the right person, the right person. Because they always, I mean, a brother in Maui, I don't know, anybody know Bob and Lori? Brother Bob, Brother Lori, anybody know them in Maui? Yeah, Brother Bob, actually his father just passed away 2 days ago, right? And he had some intestine cloth, a clog in his intestine. And he went to the doctor and they look at it, he need to have surgery. Then he has surgery and then he died, right afterward. Of course, they're not saying there's malpractice and stuff like that, but I was saying that, I mean, yes, he had clog intestine, but all of a sudden he just have surgery and then he just died a couple of days later, right? There's something very fishy going on, right? So really, quite often when you and I have situations, of course, I'm saying this, it's according to your faith. Please don't say when you get sick, you go to a doctor, right? But it's according to your faith. And for me, when I have migraine, stuff like that, I take Advil, right? Sometimes I pray, God, please get rid of my migraine. And sometimes I'm lack of faith, my migraine is still there, right? I take Advil, right? And this time I came here, after Atlanta, I had really severe migraine, but I took the wrong Advil. I took the Advil PM with me instead of regular Advil. Because if I take the Advil PM, I will be asleep, right? Through the whole day, right? So I didn't take anything. But I just prayed to God, but I, you know, for 2.5 days I had migraine, right? So really, I also lack of faith, my lack of faith. But we're saying that when you tap to that source, that you really have great faith, you pray God will heal you. You know, in Ghana, the 7 of our brothers and sisters died and resurrected. And I asked the people involved in his resurrection, I said, no, the sister or brother died for 2 hours already, right? How you continue to pray and ask God to resurrect them? They all say to me, they knew God was going to resurrect them. They knew. Why? Because God put inside their heart that kind of faith. So one brother, for example, he's a worker of God. And this one sister died because her aunt put a curse on her, right? Put a voodoo curse on her. So she got bit by an ant. And then she went to the doctor, right? And she went to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, we have to cut off your right arm because all infected, right, with poison. This black ant actually is very poisonous, plus the voodoo that her aunt put on her. Then the doctor said, but I don't have time today to cut your arm off. Come the next day, right? So the sister went home, she died. So everybody called a taxi and stuff already to come pick her up, right? And usually they put her in a trunk and put ice there, right? To get buried, that's how they do it. So, but the worker, you know, heard about this. He took some of the brothers and sisters and, you know, told the taxi, you go away. We're going to pray for her. She's going to resurrect. And that kind of faith, right? I mean, really, when he shared this with me, it seemed like it's nothing, you know, just like another day, you know? And then 4 to 6 of them went into this little hut and they put the sister in that hut. And I went into that hut is super small, and it's so hot. And they prayed there for like an hour. And as he prayed, kept his one eye open, right, to see what's going on. So he prayed, everybody's so sweaty and so hot and smelly and all that kind of stuff, right? And then he prayed, and all of a sudden, he saw her hand move. Then he just got up, in the name of Jesus Christ, resurrect. She got up, he took her by the hand and went out, and everybody went crazy. They thought they saw a ghost. So all running around like crazy. But thank God, after that, many people got baptized, right? And I say, really, well, how do you know you have that kind of feeling? Because God gave her a kind of faith inside. Because he's already tapped into that kind of faith. And I remember, I mean, in Dallas, right, there's a brother named Bruce. So one of the brothers, he hasn't come to church for a while. And he comes and he talks to Bruce. Yeah, Bruce, you need to have faith, you know, if you want God, if you want to walk and stuff like that, isn't that right? And Bruce said, I have faith, you know. And he said, okay, if you have faith, and then I'll tell you. And then the brother say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. I was right there, and Bruce said, what's the matter with you? That's what he said. He said, I can't do that. You know? I mean, it was really funny of you there, right? But the thing is, you know, when you tell someone to rise up and walk, make sure God is with you, you understand? You don't just go around, rise up and walk, right? God must move you. God must move you to have that kind of faith to tell a person, rise up and walk. Actually, one time, a mother, she was really sick. So a father and her daughter was praying for her. And all of a sudden, you know, God picked up the little daughter, and the daughter laid hands on the mother. And the mom is completely healed. Because God moved her to do that, right? So that's why for us, really, when you tap in that kind of faith, you will know. And that's why Jesus Christ, when they say, rise up and walk. And what happens if it doesn't walk? No, it won't happen like that. Because Jesus Christ already tapped into that source of faith. So the same thing for us. So that's why when we're talking about, you know, this woman, she's been like this for so many years, right? And it grew worse. And then, verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him and in the crowd and touched his garment. So we can see here that the crowd thronging our Lord Jesus Christ. Because everybody want to touch the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Everyone want to be healed by infirmity. So even though many people touch the Lord Jesus Christ physically, but spiritually, not too many. So the same thing for us, when you and I kneel down and pray, yes, we say hallelujah, we pray in the spirit, but very few of us can truly touch our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we never experience him. When we pray, our minds are all over the place, right? We think about this, we think about that, we think what's going to be for dinner, right? What am I going to do when I get back, right? This kind of prayer can never touch our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why here, look, so many people thronging him, trying to touch him. But look at verse 28. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Once again, why this woman was healed? Why? Faith. Because she said to herself, look, can you imagine during the time so many people touching our Lord Jesus Christ? She had to go through the crowd. But for her, she's saying to herself, if I only can touch his clothing, if I only can touch his clothing, I will be healed. That is great faith. So quite often when you want to see a person is healed, or you want to see miracles and signs, that person being healed, they must have great faith. And the person that's healing them also must have great faith. That's very important. For me, I never experienced that kind of faith. Because I pray for people for a long time, this and that, but I have never tapped into that faith and saying that, okay, you know, open your eyes. You know, because if a person is blind, right, open your eyes and see. I never feel that kind of feeling. So that's why I need to pray more, right? And maybe that's not my gift. It's not my gift. Because one time I was in Africa, this truth seeker, she'd been blind for 7 years. Blind for 7 years. And she came to our church and she was praying for 3 days. And as she was praying, God opened her eyes. Like God opened her eyes. No one said anything to her. The other minister I was with, we just said, okay, she's blind, right? That's it. But she has the faith to pray for the 3 days. And before we left, God opened her eyes. Really amazing. Really amazing. This is the first time I see in front of me that a person was blind for 7 years and God just opened eyes right in front of us. And I interview her, right? And she gave me the history, how she was blind and all this kind of stuff. But really, praise and thank God, she has such great faith. So you can see for this woman, her thought only, if I can touch his garment, I will be clean. He will heal me. This is the kind of faith that she has. I remember, actually, there's a brother in Africa, he's a taxi driver. And as taxi driver, he makes a lot of money. But in the beginning, his faith wasn't that good. So when he, and one day he had this flesh-eating disease, right? You guys know this flesh-eating disease, right? You guys know what it is, right? Yeah, this flesh-eating disease, pretty much, it starts eating his skin and also his bone. So he spent all his money. He go to this doctor, that doctor, every doctor. But his leg, actually, for example, if this is angle right here, and this is calves, right? But in front, his shin, pretty much all corroded. It's all like maggots and stuff all inside. And he can't even stay. If the room is like this big, you cannot stay around him. It smells so bad. So usually he cannot sleep inside the compound. He got to go outside, right? Because it smells so bad. So he tried to go to so many places. I mean, he showed me the picture when I was there. So not only the flesh eating, disease eating his flesh, is also starting eating his bone. So in great pain, he's so smelly everywhere, right? He cannot get rid of it. There's all different kinds of insects in there. It's just really disgusting, right? And then he spent all his money. Then he have no more money to go to the doctors. Then he just cry and cry, and then he start to pray to God. And start to pray. I think the first couple of weeks, nothing happened. But after that, God started to heal from the beginning, right? From the bottom of his leg. Little by little, God healed it. Within 3 months, God completely healed it. And of course, he still have a huge scar right in front of his leg. But he said, that's how God remind me to be so thankful, right, to what happened to him. And now that brother, when you go there, he take us everywhere for free, right? Take us to, you know, here, there. We were there for what? About 7 days. He took 7 days off and just used his taxi to take us everywhere. Because this brother realized, actually, without our Lord Jesus Christ, he would have been dead. But even though he tried so many doctors, but no one can heal him. Only our Lord Jesus Christ. So that kind of faith is really amazing. But of course, it took him to lose all his money first. But you can see, because he had money, he had less faith. But the minute he lose all his money, then he realized, without Jesus Christ, he cannot die. But thank God, right? He continued to pray. Just like this woman, she had great faith. If I only touch his garment, right, I will be clean. Look at verse 29. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she fell in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Verse 31. But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" So what does it teach us here with this miracle? Just like I said before, yes, many of us can kneel down and pray. Many of us can make requests to our Lord Jesus Christ, but very few of us truly touch our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why when you and I pray, we don't feel motivated to pray. Because our prayer seems like it's lost somewhere, right? When if we communicate with God and God does communicate back, you can only communicate for so long, right? And then you don't want to communicate anymore. And that's why, you know, if you have your best friend, what you and your best friend do the most? You talk, right? You talk. Especially for sisters, right? But actually during IHTS, this one brother talked to his friend like 6 hours a day. Like, wow, that's take a lot of energy, right, to do that. But why? Because when you communicate, I'm sure that he's not only one that's talking, right? They are both communicating. So when you and I pray to God and we don't feel God at all, God never speaks to us, and how do you and I have the energy to continue to speak? We cannot. So that's why communication takes both parties to communicate. And when we pray to God, if you and I really pray with sincere heart, pray with faith, God will respond to us in many different ways. If we don't experience that, then our prayer becomes very weak, weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. So that's why I hope these last 2 weeks that all we really experience our Lord Jesus Christ in your prayer. You should. Because the minute you kneel down and pray, the Holy Spirit in us speaking to God. And you and I should connect to God right away. That's why when you pray, and I'm sure the first day or the second day when you're here, when you kneel down and pray, half an hour seems so long, right? Because when you're talking to someone, they don't talk back, it's a long conversation. But if you have a great conversation with a person, even 1-2 hours pass by, you feel like, wow, the time go by so quickly already, right? That's how it is when we communicate with God. So that's why here, many people throng at Lord Jesus Christ. Then our Lord Jesus Christ knew whoever touched him, because anybody else touch him, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Why? Because they probably touch him without faith. Just like you and I, yeah, we pray. But our Lord Jesus Christ have not been touched. So let's make that kind of effort, just like this woman. Pray with faith. And then look at verse 32. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. Verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Why was this woman trembling and fearing when our Lord Jesus Christ was looking for her? Why? Why? I'm sorry? Yeah, but she was cleansed already, right? She was healed already. She was healed already. What's that? Yeah, she doesn't feel worthy. Why doesn't she feel worthy? Yes. Because she knew that Jesus was God. And that's why she felt the way she felt. Really, when you and I experience God, you will, the humility that you have. And that's why when I received the Holy Spirit that night, when I felt the presence of God in front of me, I couldn't lift up my head. I was on the ground crying. Because God was too awesome. God was too holy. God was too powerful. So all I can do was cry and put my head to the ground. That's it. That's all I can do. And when I read this woman, I can understand what she's saying, what she's going through, because all these years, she went to the different physicians, right? She tried to get help for this and for that, and she grew worse. And now at the time that, she's the worse off than before, now she just touched the garment of our Lord Jesus Christ, and she was healed. What kind of power is that, right? What kind of power is that? So that's why quite often in our prayer, we don't need to touch our Lord Jesus Christ directly. Even you touch his garment, our Lord Jesus Christ, we can still experience our Lord Jesus Christ. But quite often we're so far. We are so far. But even touch his garment, you can see this woman, she realized, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's a true and living God. So then, and what did she do the minute she was recognized? What did she do? She fell down before him, right? And told him everything. And told him everything. Can you imagine if you were the father of the little girl, right? And say, oh, come quickly, right, to heal my daughter. And on all these people in the throng of Lucius Christ, then he stopped to chat with this girl, right? Why did Lucius Christ do that? Why? Why did he do that? I'm sorry? Can I say something? Why did he stop and talk to this woman, and this woman explained the whole truth, right? Not just half, not a quarter, the whole truth. We don't know how long it was, but long enough for the little girl to die, right? But why did Lord Jesus Christ do that? Yes? Okay, to test the Father, okay. But actually, this story really tells us, look, when you and I pray for certain things, don't rush it. Our Lord Jesus Christ has his own timing. God always has his timing. This is very important. When you pray for certain things, God knows exactly when he's going to tell you, when he's going to respond to you. But you need to have faith. Here, the reason why he allowed the girl to die, actually, to glorify himself, right? To glorify God. Because if the girl's only sick, and then he goes and lays hands on her, she is healed, right? Then what would happen? Oh, yeah, maybe she's supposed to get better anyway, right? But all these people say, no, she died already, right? She died already. I'm sure all these people, they're not just commoners, right? Common people, because he was a ruler of the synagogue. I'm sure he has many important people there. They already testified that she was dead. But our Lord Jesus Christ waited. What about Lazarus? Huh? Remember, Lazarus, the same thing, right? That's why his sister, Lazarus, said, oh, Lord, if you would have been here, he would have been still alive. But you didn't get here, that's why he's dead. Right now, how many days he been in the tomb already? Four days, right? 4 days, right? 4 or 3 days. 4 days. Why is it so significant for him to be 4 days? Why? Why? I'm sorry? Yes. Actually, for the Jew, after, if you die for 4 days, there's no way you're going to come back to life. Because the body already started to decompose. And that's why I say, no, my brother already stink, right? Don't, you know, he's already stinking. Don't open the tomb, right? He smell already, right? Because for the Jews, actually 4 days, this means there's no way your spirit can come back to your body because it's gone already. It's done already. And that's why the resurrection of Lazarus is so powerful. But I shared with you earlier, I asked you earlier, so the little girl, she died, she maybe died in an hour. Maybe the young man died maybe 1 or 2 days, right? Because he's already on his way to burial. And then Lazarus for 4 days. So what does this tell us about our Lord Jesus Christ? What does it tell us? What does it tell us about Lord Jesus Christ? Anyone? It doesn't matter how long a person been dead, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ can resurrect them. The same thing. We're talking about spiritually dead. So don't think, oh, that person's been dead for 4 years already, right? There's no way they're going to come back. But remember, in the book of Ezekiel, they all were dry bones. If they get to the point of dry bones, how many days they've been dead already, right? And the bones are very dry. Not just normal dry, very dry. So that's why never lose hope. You can die for 1 hour, our Lord Jesus Christ will resurrect you. You can die for 2 days, our Lord Jesus Christ will resurrect you. You can die for 4 days, our Lord Jesus Christ will resurrect you. Yes. What's that? I mean, it was real. I mean, for who? For Lazarus? Mm-hmm. What do you mean, like a? Yes, it's true. It's up to God, right? We want to resurrect them or not, right? But death comes to all men, right? Really, when my father died, my adopted father died, right? I prayed to God. I said, God, I was hoping he'd give me the faith to resurrect my dad, right? I was praying for that, right? But when I pray, I just feel so peaceful in a sense that, no, my dad's not going to resurrect. He's going to die. And for me, I just realized that is going to be God's will, right? And the same thing for my biological dad. Because I was in the hospital with him, and I was praying to God too. But actually, God knows, right? Really, God knows what is the best. In the beginning, I didn't really understand too much God's will because both my father died, right? Both of my fathers died. And now I know, actually, if my adopted father is still alive, there's no way he still come to church. There's no way, right? So God look at his soul more important than the physical aspect of it, right? And that's how I see it. And now, I mean, for sure that he went to heaven. I mean, for sure, because our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that came out of the door and took him, right? So even though I miss him, but I know for sure that he's in the heavenly kingdom. But if he was still alive, I don't think. Because my dad is into in mafia and things like that, right? Many other things, right? Gambling, mafia, and all that kind of stuff, right? So, and I know that actually God has a lot of mercy on him, right? God has a lot of mercy on him. So that's why, actually, for men to die, why do you and I die? Why? Huh? Yes, because of our sin. That's why we die. God never intended for us to die, but because of our sin, we will die. But if God's mercy is upon us, he wants to resurrect us, then he will. But sometimes resurrected, it doesn't mean that's a good thing, right? What king in the Bible, he wanted to live, what, another 15 years longer, right? What was the king's name? Hezekiah, right? And then what happened during the 15 years? Yes, he sinned greatly against God, right? And then when God said, hey, you're ready to die, I'm going to take you. Oh, thank God. God's going to take you, right? Don't ask God, can I live another 15 years? You make sure if you ask that, make sure it's your will, God. It's not my will. make sure it's your will, because the 15 years you might sin against God and then you're done. Right? Yes. What do you mean, like that? No, as long as you live. So the brother asked, if someone die and they resurrected, this means their sin is forgiven? There's only one way for your sin to be forgiven, is what? There's only one way a person's sin can be forgiven. That's what? Baptism. There's no other way. But when you die, actually, you resurrected. Thank God, if you didn't baptize yet, you should baptize. Right? Right? And that's the whole point. But if they're resurrected from the dead and then they still don't want to be baptized, then that's it. Just like my adopted father. Actually, at first, he didn't want to be baptized. Even though when he was in his, when he was at home dying, and two people showed up, right? The left side was Satan, and the right side was Jesus. And then at first, he thought he was going to go with Jesus. But instead, Satan was taking his soul, right? Was taking his soul. Then he, my father said, Lord, I believe you all my life. I was baptized when I was 9 years old, he said that. But our Lord Jesus Christ did not say anything. But our Lord Jesus Christ had mercy and stopped Satan from taking his soul. Then guess what? My dad still didn't want to get baptized. He still refused. And then we keep praying to God. Many brothers and sisters are praying to God for him. And then when he went in the hospital, of course, the doctor told him he had only about 2 weeks to live. And that time he was dying in his bed. And then Satan took his soul to Hades. And he saw, he said that when he went to Hades, the first person he saw was who? Satan. He says Satan is so ugly that he cannot even describe it, how ugly he was. There's no word like in this world to describe how ugly Satan was, right? And at first, he just feels so tormented. He feels so much pain, but nothing's going on with him. He just feels so great pain. Then when he feels all this pain, then he's looking at the distance. There's a group of people. They're all singing, praising God, and they're very joyful. And that's what he said. They are so joyful. But where he was, torment. Right? Torment, torment, torment. At first, there's only 5-6 people in front of him. So when he see that there's the group on the other side, he walked forward and he wanted to go to the other side. But the minute he stepped forward, there's thousands of people in front of him. And no matter what they do, for example, if this is the road they're taking, they would go and the group over here is like this. They would walk and they fall off the cliff like this and they come back and start all over again. And he felt so much pain. That's why he cried out when we were praying for him. He was crying out, Jesus, please save me. Jesus, please save me. I would do anything for you. My dad, I mean, I told you, he's in the mafia. I never see him cry in my life. He's a very tough person. I mean, people try to kill him many times. He doesn't care. But in Hades, actually, he did care because he was so, I mean, it was just so much torment, so much pain. So and then that's why, you know, and all of a sudden, he felt this power, went down to Hades, brought him back out, and put him in, bring him back, right? Then he woke up, he said, son, I want to be baptized. Thank God. That was the last straw. If he didn't want to be baptized in that time, I would never see my father in heaven. That was for sure. Yes? Yes. Yes. Actually, yeah, the question is that when this... people die, right? Did they go to Hades? Why did they go to Hades, right? That's a question, right? And actually, we do not know, right? We do not know. I mean, Lazarus, I don't think he would go to Hades, right? Because Jesus loved him, right? The Bible said, right? And the little girl, I don't know what kind of faith she had, because they still belong to the Old Testament, right? So they need to have faith, right? They need to have faith. But the little girl, for sure, her father was full of faith, right? So maybe she didn't go, right? But we don't know 100% sure. But one thing for sure, they came back, wherever they went, right? And we're hoping that, you know, even though they came back, they resurrected, and hopefully they, you know, they transformed their lives, right? We don't know, right? We don't know. But now that you and I die, I mean, now, and this time that you and I die, we will know exactly where we'll go, right? Either go to Hades or go to paradise. Those are only two places. If you're in Christ, you go to paradise. If you not in Christ, you go to Hades. That's it, waiting for judgment. Okay? We run out of time now. So tomorrow is going to be our last class, right? So if you have questions, we can ask them. Okay? Let's bow and pray in silence.